I guess the easiest would be, it's kind of long, you guys, but it's workingitinportland@gmail.com. And it's taken from the title of the zine that I do, the sex worker public health zine, which is called Working It. And the next issue will be out on December 17th. And you can buy a copy at the event. And it's on state-sanctioned violence against sex workers with a lot of research. So you can quote at anyone who tries to argue with you, which I like.
Awesome. All right. We
Brett
are
and Camille,
out of time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us. This is great. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
We are here for you anytime. Take care. And next week, we'll continue to be positively revolting. It'll be right before the solstice. One of our favorite shows every year.
Might be something special. You never
know. All right. Cheers.
There comes a time when every second, every day, every thought will tell the world how you cast your vote. They make our legs and we take back you with the oppressed creature.
This is KBOO Portland. The time is 9 a.m. Coming up, we hear the first of two programs honoring the life of activist, poet, and musician John Trudell. We'll hear For Future Generations, a talk with poetry recorded in Portland in 1998. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary, followed by Flashpoints. And at 11, Paul Rowland hosts part two of our special on the late activist, poet, and musician John Trudell, with a combination of spoken word and music. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support for community radio. It's not too late to become a member this year or renew. Just go to kboo.fm and click where it says Donate Today.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Charles Adams Family and Friends, an art show of 52 original artworks by the creator of the Adams Family and beloved New Yorker cartoonist. The show is up through December 13th at the Saruman House, 5131 Northeast 23rd Avenue in Portland. Saruman House is open Thursday and Friday from 4 to 8 p.m. and Saturdays and Sunday from noon to 4 p.m. Again, that's Charles Adams Family and Friends, an art exhibit up through December 13th at the Saruman House in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Thank you to all of our new and renewing members during our winter membership drive. That makes KBOO one of the best community radio stations in the country. We fell a few thousand short of our goal of 55,000, so if you didn't have a chance to give, it's never too late. Remember, for the month of December, if you become a new member or if you increase your giving over last year, your gift will be matched by a number of local businesses and individual donors. Donate now at kboo.fm/give. Thank you once again for being the best supporters a station could ever ask for.
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much. As promised, acclaimed Santee Sioux poet, recording artist, actor, and activist John Trudell passed away on December 8, 2015, at his home. Today, we honor his memory by playing some of his talks, interviews, and music. In this hour, we'll hear For Future Generations, a talk with poetry recorded on June 12, 1998, at Westminster Church in Northeast Portland. This talk was recorded by Andrew Geller. Here is John Trudell.
I'm glad to be here. I'm glad that you're here. And I'm going to be as coherent as I can, but in the course of whatever I say, if you don't agree with it, I'm not trying to start any trouble, Okay? So I'm going to start by reading some poems and then we'll just see. Earth DNA polls, genetic memory, ancient spirit, sky, father sky, the magic valley, earth, mother earth. Childhood distances, hard to remember what was never to be forgotten, never to be forgotten. Predators stalk all living things. The death mask feeds on living essence. Feelings become fugitives. Emotions are cold alibis. When hurt, can't hurt anymore. Raged ones rise. Feeding the beast, all aggression is justified, and the beast grows. Flow of thought, harnessed into mindsets, a damning, diseased spirits. Cannibals and vampires feast, mining minds in civilized ritual. The religion of business and machine, pay homage to technologic gods. At material altars, the mass prays a prayer of need and wanting more. Earth DNA pulls, genetic memory, ancient spirit, sky, father sky, the magic valley, earth, mother earth, what was never to be forgotten, children of earth, what we see affects our realities. What is always to be remembered? The beast needs us to believe. Always to be remembered. Free our minds. Free the reality. Been hanging out down south of hell, playing to the music of a broken bell. Hard times and beating myself up inside my head. I was the walking wounded or the living dead. Tie a yellow ribbon around my brain. My mind booked, it's been gone so long. Rash traveling with mad and insane. Tears fell like tears, rain fell like rain. Shadow man called, catch me if you can. Knowing he can't be caught, he's the shadow man. Trickster turned free into junk and a rubber room. And junkie fix has even stolen from the moon. Leaders know they can't trust ones who follow. Followers know not to trust ones who lead. Love, hate, despair, and promises turn narcotic. If everything's normal, then reality's psychotic. Claiming to understand dimension and space, Babylon huffs and puffs. Bullying around in the natural order, temptation rules in the valley of fools. Celestial cannibals feast on essence. The civilized hide out from their lives. The traumatized worry about everything. Hypnotized, worrying into nothing at all. Been hanging out down south of hell, playing to the music of a broken bell. Hard times and beating myself up inside my head. I was the walking wounded or the living dead. Mind breaking is rule makers' ruling game. Mind fixers and mind takers are the same. Creating the laws of supply and demand, deliberate as cutting knife in steady hand. Trying to sleep off another deep sleep, but the howling dog knows no mercy. Having to face this industrial storm. Nightmares are memories that weep. Intimate moments are new world crimes. Authority means what it means. Thought chains for minds of dreams. A man with beaded eyes saw as surreal. Difference what we are and what we feel. Distances from here to what we can't see is waste. Wasting life's spirit as energy. Language of genocide, progress for profit. industrial forked tongues needing to feed. Techno-religions mainline their techno-habit. Prayers to techno-gods, a fix is greed's greed. Madman quotes madman, justifying more madmen. The only alternative devoured by no choice. Memories of the forgotten, remembering again. Deathly silence when silence loses its voice. Empire builders plant with fear that breeds. Possessed love and hate from distorted seeds. The living owned, freedom is desire to own. Living is life, trying to feel less alone. Moths and other sacred wings. Butterflies and bees whisper in breath of the wind, blessed ways, blessing way things. Dreams are the mind's streams, thought pictures of the spirit. There are dreams of the day, there are dreams of the night. Thinking and dreaming are related. Dreams of the day, we make our own. Dreams of night, part of eternal stone. There are dream takers, taking from dream worlds, taking dreams as a way of stealing thoughts, turning minds inside then out. Dream slavers want to change our connections to ourselves, mess with our dreams, make us unsure, unclear about right and wrong, feed our dreams and instincts to industrial profit machine. Difference between dream and fantasy, reality and illusion, center and no center. Dreams of the day keep our spirit alive, our creative mind, who we really are. With dreams we can create and heal, follow our original purpose. Dreams are protection, good medicine, blessed way things. Sun and moon continue. We are all on one journey. That's it. You're just going to confuse me. If I'm going to talk about the future generations, then we better jump into the past. Who we are human beings. Before we are citizens or Catholics or atheists or Jews or Native Americans, or we are human beings. That's who we are. Human, physical, being, spirit, invisible, the visible and the invisible, the bone, flesh, and blood of the human part of us. The DNA is literally made up of the metals, minerals, and liquids of the earth. Our DNA and our physical lineage comes from the earth because we are just different shapes of the earth. That is the human part of us. The being part, now that's spirit. That's the spirit, and it's the two. So we are human beings. And because we are human beings, and we are just different shapes of the earth, so we have to remember that all of the things of the earth have the same DNA. They have the DNA of the earth. It's just that this is their shape. If it's uranium or water, whatever it is, all right, their DNA is the same as ours. Their shape and form is different. But just like this human form of DNA has being, so does that other form. We are connected to that reality of power, what power is really all about. And somewhere in our collective ancestral evolution, we are all the descendants of tribes. Each and every one of us at some point in our reality, going back into the ancient times, we are all the descendants of tribes. And because we are all the descendants of tribes, we have a common collective mutual experience. Now in our DNA, see, we have a genetic memory. It's a part of the total life experience of our evolution. We have that information. It's there. It's a part of our experience in evolving. But anyway, back, so within this genetic memory, we all have a common ancestry of tribalism. And when we all viewed the world from a tribal reality, we understood that there was the Great Spirit. There was spirit and there was life, physical life. And because we understood that there was spirit, we knew that reality was based around a spiritual perception, and the human form was just participating in the reality, but it's really about a spiritual reality. So we understood that. So we understood then that life was about responsibility, because we were just using the time that we had, The past belonged to our ancestors. This was the time we were using, and tomorrow belonged to those who were coming next. So we had a responsibility. And the earth was the mother entity. So we all viewed the earth as our mother. We have this in common. We all viewed the earth as our mother. And so our reality was based upon a spiritual reality. And that spiritual reality always manifests itself through responsibility. We can talk tradition, ritual, culture, whatever, but all spiritual reality manifests itself through responsibility. That's the part that's still about responsibility. And it's somewhere in our evolution, the evolution of us as human beings, there appeared another idea, see? Now the other idea said, hold it. There's a male creator entity, and the male creator entity is removed away from the earth. And as a matter of fact, the earth belongs to the male creator entity, and it's here for man to dominate for the male creator entity. So the earth is no longer the mother. Now the earth is the property of a male entity removed from this reality completely. So again, in our common collective ancestral experience, all of our ancestors resisted this idea. And through violence, deceit and aggression, all of our ancestors were forced to submit. The Europeans saw it happen to the Indians, right? But it happened to them before they saw it happen to the Indians. And this also has everything in the world to do with the reality of sexism. Because in order to attack the earth for this new dominion of a male god, in order to attack the earth, then they had to attack the women. Because the women were the living manifestation of the life bringer that the earth represented. So sexism is related to the relationship of society to the earth. At war with peace, just look at ourselves. Pure as air we breathe. We could be poison rivers, using one another for kindling, starting different firestorms. We don't call it possession. Keeping peace in an arms race. Used to be arms were for holding, arms were for carrying, arms were for loving. Now killing arms go around, man to man to woman, color to color, country to country, religion to religion. This cult of Americanism, working the line, the liar's mouth is the beggar's mouth, seeking the riches that make them poor. Politically correct, the right wing of aging vulture, fights for life as death. Nazis in well-tailored suits spew hatred politely and violently. Silent lie, citizens follow and wait silently. Soul storms rage inside of minds. Instincts and balance become addicted. The wrath of God hovers eternally over the mercy of angels. Myths of predators proclaim righteousness as a territory of their domain. With the Son of God, a product of man, marketplace is slave auction block. Happiness is immaterial to material. Fooling the fools, then fooling the willingly fooled. Uniform minds dazzled by the uniform. Tension in attention. Comprehension in apprehension. Apprehension as entrapped. Calling life a rat race. Dog eats dog in the cage. Remember television telling us? Buy this, buy that, you will be better liked. Spray this, you will smell better too. Lie, lie, lie. Buy, buy, buy. Psychological warfare all over the place. What's wrong with the way we naturally are? Remember history books telling us religion, war, profit, science is civilization? Wanting us to believe it's all in God's plan. Believe this, you'll believe anything. Psychological warfare all over the place. What does a barbarian really look like? Remember governments telling us the state is our protector, we need them. Controlling us with laws they don't obey. Making us pay for lies they tell as they enslave. Psychological warfare all over the place. What's the difference in ruling class and oppressed? Remember the church is telling us we are guilty from start, we owe them. As they gobble up lives for, with the real estate. Jesus died for our sins while we die for theirs. Psychological warfare all over the place. What's the money changer doing back in the temple? Remember war makers telling us to stop violence, they need weapons for war. National security, men, women, battle of the sexes, battlegrounds everywhere. psychological warfare all over the place. What does it take to realize it's all so insane? We got to stop listening to them. That's all there is to it. Spoken anger, silent hurt. Some kind of wheel going around and around inside her head, inside her heart. Heated passions, chilling effects. When they first met, she couldn't forget. Time's only purpose was for them together. They talked together and were gentle. They laid together and were flame. She told him her dreams, trusting him with her prayers. She needed a friend. She needed a man. As newness stretches thin, turns out he didn't understand. Part of the man let her down. Part of the man couldn't give. Part of the man he never was. Part of the man, part of her life. Been all through this before. Heated passions, chilling effects. Now here she is acting tough again. Turning herself off fast. Curtains dropping in place. Giving away nothing in her eyes. So this other perception of reality appeared in our ancestral reality. And in some ways, it's like a disease. I kind of think on one hand, well, hold it. The earth is living spirit. You know, and diseases come into the spirit, into the energy systems of the physical forms of life on this planet. So it's just like something got into the energy systems that are earth, the spiritual reality that is earth. And it got in here, and it can live in man. It's like a disease. It's a disease spirit that alters the perception of reality of man. The more further off the disease is into the spirit, the more the perception of reality is altered. So it's almost like whatever goes on in this world, a cure has to be found, that there aren't really any political, economic solutions or any of that. It's almost like because that's a part, the outrageousness of how everything takes place is a part of the disease. But then in another way, it's like it's mining. It's like somebody just, this is just so deliberate. You know, it's not disease. Mining. We had the same DNA as the earth, remember? And now we understand that the uranium is made up of the metals, minerals, and liquids of the earth. And we understand that they can take a technologic civilization, can take this uranium out of the earth and put it through a refinement process and take the being part of that uranium and convert it into energy by putting it through a refinement process. And they create energy. They tell us it's power, but it's not really power. It's just electrical energy. It's just energy that they're creating. But it's not power. Power is something completely different. But they tell us that it is power. So they take the power of that stone, the being, and they convert it into energy. But it's no longer power anymore because it's been through that conversion process. And we know they can do it with fossils. So we know that this goes on. We know that it can be done everywhere, but I don't think that we get it. That we come from the same DNA base. We are just a different shape. That like maybe in reality we are being mined. That the systems are set up, they are deliberately mining us. Taking our spirit through this technologic perception of reality, through all the processes of it, and taking our spirit and converting it into a form of energy that they use to run these systems. Anybody ever felt like something's missing from their life? See, now I think, in actuality, that's kind of what's happening to us. A mining process. Genocide is a mining process. Sexism is a mining process, and racism is, and classism is. Guilt, sin, and blame is. Even the educational system as we understand it is basically a mining process, because after we go through it, how many of us feel that we come out of it with knowledge about life or education to participate in some aspect of the apparatus that oppresses our reality? So do we get statistical data to be a part of the machine, or do we get information that makes us feel knowledgeable when we leave and we know we can deal with life? But let's look at definition in a way. It's like they tell us that the more money you get, the more powerful you get. But in reality, the more money that we get, the more access to authority we have. Nothing to do with power. It's got about access to authority. They tell us whoever has the most violent means of weaponry, the more powerful they are. But that is not true. That just means the more aggressive they are, and they have the means of violence to get access to authority. But that's not about power. But if you and I wandering around call these things power and recognize these things as power, then we can never understand the reality of who we are, because we will always diminish. We will not see clearly the power that we are all about, because we're calling these illusions power. This is a mining process. This is how take our thoughts. Tell us what to think and then take the thoughts and just suck it up into the old vampire. It's like something that has to seriously be thought about. It's like, to me, like this concept of freedom. There's another mining thing, you know, it's like, because I think there's certain words that they put into the language that are very, very dangerous words. They're so dangerous, I'm going to call them sacred words, and want you to be very careful how they use the sacred words, because what does the meaning of this word, what is it really? In our collective ancestry in the ancient times, life was about responsibility. It was about responsibility. It is only after male dominant religions, all right, and the progression of technologic civilization, all right, that freedom became a need. See, people were free. Freedom became a need that came along with this religious technologic perception of reality. In order to truly promote freedom in a political sense, then, see, I think basically we have to lie to ourselves through rationalization and justification, because for me to be free to do whatever I want, because basically that's how people interpret freedom, then that means if I really hold to that standard, then that means the racists and the earth violator, they have the right to do what they're doing. So this is why no one ever agrees, because there is no agreement. But every one of us carry a part of a spiritual reality in us as long as we're in this world, all right, that is based upon the reality of responsibility. But yet if I'm confined, all right, and locked up in one way, then yeah, I want my freedom. Or maybe I really want my liberty. But the words, it's like believe. See, I know belief, because I have things that I believe in. But yet it's such a dangerous, dangerous, dangerous word. Because a part of our responsibility as human beings is to think. This is how one manifests responsibility. It's about thinking. The way the illusion works, they got everybody believing and nobody thinking. Everybody's believing and nobody's thinking. Or they're pretending to themselves that they're thinking, but they're thinking within the perimeters of their beliefs. What their beliefs allow them to think, so they're not thinking. They're just recycling something here. It's like rerunning the same Ted Turner movie over and over and over, right? But they're not thinking. So that's a part of the refinement process, that thought process. See, it's an example. So we need to understand the possibility that this is going on and it's really very deliberate. That it's maybe the main aspect of technologic reality is the mining of the human beings. And as a part of this, a way of the mining, this whole idea of guilt, sin, and blame. Give me a break. Guilt, sin, and blame, the trinity of the chain. That looks like a big mining machine to me. Any way I walk around that sucker and look at it, what do you mean guilt, sin, and blame? I come from an ancestral past that said life is a gift, and when I enter into this reality, I'm a part of that gift. What the hell are you talking about? I'm guilty for being here. I committed a crime. What's this crap? Because once that sticks into my head, once that comes into my perception of reality, I lessen myself. I don't see myself clearly anymore because I'm guilty for something that somebody else said. So once that comes in, see, we don't see ourselves clearly the way that we should, because we're carrying this little virus to affect our perception of self. We are responsible. Maybe in a legal sense, in laws and things like that, that's got about guilt. Guilty, not guilty. But when we're talking about that spiritual aspect of that part of our reality, we are responsible for what we do, and we can never outrun it. It's a part of the DNA. We are responsible for what we do. And it's about that responsibility. And I like the word response and ability. It's almost like a clue put to us. This is what we are able to do. But about guilt, sin, and blame, you know, back in the collective ancestral memory, when we entered into this reality, we had all of the information of the community was given to us. All of the knowledge of the community was given to us when we entered into the reality. So our mistakes were less. But see, when we enter into the reality now, man, nobody tell us nothing. Well, a little bit do's and don'ts, but I mean give us some real knowledge about, you know, who we are, man. It isn't really there. And the predator is different now. The predator has all these manifestations now. It's whether it's physical, sexual, whether it's criminal, whatever the predator is, whether it's the legal crime, whatever it is. So, of course, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to do things that are maybe because of the psychological reality we're in now are going to be very intense to us. But see, they're mistakes. And the reality, the responsibility, the spiritual reality to life that every person carries in them, see, is to learn from the mistakes. See, what I never really got about guilt was, well, here, I'm feeling guilty about this. So that means I'm taking this whole thing and I'm replaying it in my mind and looking at it again. And every time I feel guilty, I run this movie again and I look at it. But if it makes me feel so bad, why do I want to keep watching the movie? Why? I mean, it means I haven't learned anything from it. Haven't learned anything from it. Guilt, sin, and blame. I'm not real sure what sin is. I know what blame is. But reality, one of the realities, we can't blame anybody for anything we do. Because in the end, whatever it is we do, we're the one that made the decision. Now, we may rationalize a lot of stuff, see, but in the end, we did what we did. See, this is what responsibility is about. See, we can't outrun this one, see, but we live in a technological perception reality doesn't even want us to consider it or think about it. Because, see, as long as I feel like, well, they told me I'm guilty, well, then I'm guilty. What, I made some serious bad mistakes. Well, now that lessens me some more. No, I think maybe the deal is I learn from it. But if we listen to them, we use every experience to lessen ourselves. And like mining, like when you look at mining, you know, look, I mean, everyone's environmentally aware now because the water's poison in the air and all this stuff, all right? Every fear, doubt, insecurity that we have in our minds is a part, that's the pollution left over from the mining of our being. See, that's what's left over from the mining of our being. It's all of that, because that means that there's a confusion about we don't know who we are. The protection that we've been given to deal with this is our intelligence. We were not put here defenseless. Now let's look at it in a way, let's say like it's like a disease, like a virus got into the life systems. When Columbus came here, it was like to me when the disease got here. This virus got on this hemisphere, and it was carried through the air and the water, just like they always are, right? And it showed up here. But because we were all humans, we related to it in a human form, and we've been programmed through history to relate to this thing and this kind of event in this kind of a way. But anyway, so when Columbus and these people came, see, and they got when the boat landed and they got off the boat, they asked us who we were, and we said, we're the people, we're the human beings. And they said, Indians, oh, it's Indians. They start calling us Indians. What I think is, see, Columbus, he couldn't recognize us. He didn't know. See, when we said, and not just Columbus, everybody that came with him and after him, but it's like when we said we're the people and we're the human beings, I think they didn't know what that meant. I seriously, seriously think they did not know what that meant. They did not know what a human being was. They did not know what it meant to be a people. Because now back to the mining process, as religion was being one of the main tools at this time. So you have all the tribes of Europe. See, and anybody that's of Europe ancestry, go back and trace your lines. Go read the books that talk about what happened from your tribal days to when, whether it was the Romans or the Greeks, whatever. But go see who your people were. It makes the understanding. The descendants of the tribes of Europe, see, what, maybe by 800 AD or 900 AD or something like that, right? Europe was already kingdoms, you know, they had kings and lords and dukes and earls. So all of the descendants of the tribes of Europe, though, see, they were recognized as just different life forms of the land by whoever owned the land, meaning he could kill them, he could do whatever he wanted to with them. That was their reality. They were just another resource on the land, and anything could be done with them that the master or the lord wished to do. So this is their reality for hundreds of years. They still kind of prayed to spirits, and they still, see, they didn't know they were tribes anymore. They still had a part of their spiritual memory left. So then the church decided about 1100 AD or sometime like that, the church decided that it was the authority of God on earth. It was God's government It made that decision. And as a part of that decision, see, then anyone who was accused of thinking differently than was approved of by the church was guilty of heresy. So if you were accused, you were guilty, and you had to be tortured, and you had to be executed, and your property had to be seized by the church. So by the time Columbus got here, this had been going on for 400 years. So let's say 20 years to a generation. All right, so for approximately 20 generations, this had been going on in Europe by the time Columbus got here. And they had been so brutalized and terrorized and tortured. They had been so violently acted against. A form of genocide had been waged against the descendants of the tribes of Europe to get them to conform to the new idea of the male god, to embrace it. And what's interesting about that, this is when love and fear, see, because here's all of a sudden, here's these people, right? And they got to love what they fear in order to just physically stay alive. And they altered love forever. So when Chris and the boys got off the boat, you know what a human being was? Didn't have a clue. Famine in the plenty. Patience burns quick, waiting for the rich. But the rich won't hurry. The rich eat us, so the rich don't worry. In the sun's shadow, water melts into cold. Running rivers of want. Want needs justice. But justice is just ice in those rivers of want. The stars in the night have seen it all. What isn't remembered takes time to weep. All those stolen moments still searching to belong. The scent of heaven pulls the prayer of the prey. Feeling something missing is a constant of every day. Confusion in the happy place. The great lie is one with all the little lies, throwing illusion into the mind. Edges of breaking dreams, cutting into other dreams. Crossing the dark side, playing me through time, wetting my edge, I painted myself in what I've done. Sowing the night, seeds of ideas, tending thoughts I wanted to harvest. Riding the dry, the sun was my fever. Then I got lost in the thirst. Somewhere in time and youth, I used to know someone, but they sort of disappeared, along with some others I never got to mourn. Depending on who's dealing and what the deal is, have to watch what I say. It's what is used to hunt and track me down. Maybe the years buried what I couldn't carry. The reality of the bait is the nature of the trap, and what I couldn't carry waits for me anyway. Waiting to be sprung. I'm just a spectator here. Times of transcending time. I should have done what I could, but went and did what I would. Don't be playing games with me. That'll start me playing too. The way shadows cross the line, I may have played more games than you. In the way angels kiss, we have this time around, comes down to this. Where we're going is how we're bound. The dormant violence of the subtle mind makes the cleanest cut, the hardest cut to find. That part where anger alone can't keep its promises of revenge, it takes the dance with rage to put fire to that page. When the laughing and the living play it down, it plays out to the dying and the crying and whatever is left out. So anyway, our intelligence. This is our medicine. This is our protection. This is what we were given to help us to get through things that are created in the minds of other men. Our intelligence. But we're programmed not to really understand what intelligence is. We're programmed to think some people have it and some people don't. Everybody has intelligence. Every living human being has intelligence. Now, intelligence, it's like thought, imagination. Thought and imagination. Intelligence. Now, let's look at intelligence. All right, an example is, we'll just look into our own selves, and every day, do we ever have those days when maybe the dark, whatever it is that eats at us, or whatever it is that we have a hard time, whatever it is that's chasing us, right? Where it makes us feel bad or negative about ourselves, or we don't trust ourselves or don't like ourselves. We got that little darkness going on that's really based around fear or insecurity or whatever. Anybody had that experience? You know, where this is the kind of thing, I'm talking behind the mask now, you know, whatever the mask is. A society of bandits, everybody's wearing a mask. But when we get back into this, in reality, it's nothing more than how one is using their intelligence. Really. It comes from not learning from the mistakes or the experiences we have in our life. It's about not using our intelligence. But this is how we choose to use it. Because this is how we use our thoughts and our creative mind. And we've been programmed to do that. We do it out of habit. It's just comfortable now, all right? But the reality is that perception can be altered by us making the decision that we're going to see a little more clearly, that we're going to think more and believe less. The future, DNA, you know, descendant and ancestor. So we're kind of in the middle there. We're the end. We're the end. Right? Send an ancestor. So what are we going to pass on to them? I think that the best thing that can be passed to them by us collectively as human beings or as communities or whatever is to understand their intelligence, to understand the value of it, to respect their intelligence, to ask questions, to think, and maybe we have to start doing it ourselves, so that, and not just telling it to them, but kind of showing it to them in such a way so that it's really incorporated and it isn't just some rhetoric that my mom or my dad or my grandma's telling me. Because that's what's going to decide what happens to us as human beings, is how we see reality. We can wish and vote and do all that shit, man, all we want. All we want. The beast just loves that. Oh yeah, they're behaving the way I programmed them to. I can deal with this. Well, anyway, it's kind of how it works. Used to be when I was politically active, I'd go speak and someone would come and then they would listen and they'd record it and then take it back to the bad guys, right? And they'd all sit around and get paranoid by it. Well, I mean, their behavior patterns manifested later. That's what had to have happened, right? But see, it made me start thinking, well, hold it. See, I know I'm crazy, right? I mean, I really am. And I mean that very affectionately, all right? But I know that I am. I mean, I know, all right? But I thought, well, what's their problem here? Well, anyway, it became obvious to me, they're concerned about what people say and what people hear. See, that's what they're concerned about. See, they're concerned about people thinking. Now we'll go back to power, see? There's power. They're afraid of power. They're not afraid of authority. They're not afraid of reactionary violence. They're not afraid of emotional confusion. They're afraid of power. And the way we as human beings manifest that power is in how we think. In the 60s, we said power to the people. We had the words, but we didn't have the understanding. Because it's how we think. Everything that has ever happened in our ancestry and in our evolution, everything that was aggressive and ever happened against us had to do to affect our perception of reality, get into our minds and alter how we see. So they do not want us to think. They do not want us to trust ourselves or respect ourselves enough to think, because it does not matter what we have done in our lives, our thoughts are valid. That is the reality. That was the gift that was given to us. But they attempt to invalidate it. See, because I find interesting about America, see, as a native person, I don't feel powerless, but I do feel oppressed. But I look at the citizens of America, they don't feel oppressed, they feel powerless. And I don't, you know, and I think, well, we should be careful because maybe we don't want our children to die that death. No offense. Because somewhere that's where the dying takes place. As we become disconnected from reality as humans. So, for the next generations, because the future for the next generations is more of the past, but the predator is much more dangerous than the predator has ever been, because the predator now has technology that they didn't have before. They got little chemicals and drugs. They got little things they never, ever had before. And they understand, and the way the plundering of the earth is going at this time now by these techno-civilizations, maximizing the profits, so to speak, there are going to be more poor by the children by the time they are old enough to be parents themselves. This is going to be a whole different reality here. Whole different reality. Whole different reality. Because you got to look through time. Your average worker in America now is making 70% of what they made 20 years ago and probably working two jobs to get it. And nobody cares because the economy's good. Give me a break. No, it's good because you're eating the lie. But now they've opened the world up for the corporate expansionism. The General Agreement on Trades and Tariffs. General Agreement on Trades and Tariffs. GATT, the GATT agreement, is made up of about 190 member nations, of which the U.S. is one of the main instigators. The bureaucracy of this agreement is called the World Trade Organization. And by this agreement made by these 190 or so nations, all right, any decisions made by the World Trade Organization are binding, cannot be appealed. Okay? Cannot be appealed. And any nation that does not go by the decision of the World Trade Organization, all right, then they have economic embargoes placed against them. And the decision makers are three people picked by the corporate industrial structure. So you want to have democracy, go ahead and vote. If I'm going to be an oppressor, I want to be there. All right, I want to be one of the three. Because the rules, here's the rules. The rules get real good. Under the right, no right of appeals. This is for global corporate commerce. So let's say whoever you are now, whatever you're doing now, you're working someplace, and the service and the function that you're doing that's saleable to the society, the parent company of what you do, the corporation somewhere has the tentacle in what you do, basically, all right, they say, well, we can't compete with these people over here in Lithuania. Because in Lithuania, they'll work for $3 a day and a cup of water. But here, we have to pay them union wages and give them health benefits, so we can't compete globally. So they take this to the World Trade Organization. The World Trade Organization looks at it and says, well, your workers are going to have to work for $3 a day too. All right? So that means it's binding. You now have to work, your children now have to work for $3 a day or whatever the rate is set. Now, I'm simplifying this, but anyone wants to go look at it and get into this because it's set now. And if you try to organize as a union and go protest it, there are laws being created that says three or four people can't stand on a street corner. Can't do it. But it's being used against gangbangers in poor neighborhoods right now. See? But later, we'll see who gangbanger is. The Clinton administration, they've been writing this new law and order code, new tax code, been creating all of these things. But no one understands what's being written into those laws. The more sensational aspects of it. But basically, they do not understand what's being written into those laws. So let's say the nuclear storage in Nevada. Okay? We'll use that. Gotta bounce that around for another 5 or 10 years. But at some point, somebody can go to the World Trade Organization and say, we can't compete, we have no way to do this, right? Because we can't do it like Mexico does it or some other country does it because our environmental laws are too stringent and theirs aren't. This thing can be turned around so that the U.S. has to just take it. And your vote don't mean nothing. Because the way that it's structured is that all they have to do is declare an economic national security risk. And then you can't demonstrate. You can't do anything the way the law is written. See, so then automatically when you come out to do this, right, then you're a criminal. To understand these things, see, it's almost like the American citizen is now they're the Indians now. 400 years ago, they needed white people to kill Indians and take the land. Because white people didn't know they were people. Fine. Remember now, remember the bad memory from Europe. So they had to give them certain concessions and things. All right, you can vote. Sure, fine. Yeah, you can say whatever you want. Just make it not too meaningful. You know? Yeah, you can own property, which is a lie, because nobody ever gets to own the property, because even if you own the property, you got to pay taxes on it. But if I own something, then why do I want to pay taxes? I own it. It's mine. I can do what I want. Yeah. So, nobody owns nothing, but everybody, so many people believing it. But anyway, so they needed to make concessions. See, but now they don't need to make concessions because the workers and the consumers are global now. So they don't need the American citizen the way that they needed them 100 years ago or 200 years ago. They're too expensive. They can maximize their profit a whole lot more efficiently, all right, to have you just be poor. All right? And while you're poor, and if you decide you object to your poverty and you decide to rise up about it, the state is armed and ready to go because you're the new terrorist. Welcome to the year 2010. See, now, it's not manifesting itself quite so clearly yet, see, because these things move in periods of time. So the laws are set in place. It's been legalized, but they have to now create the bureaucracy that it takes to enforce it. See, so new law and order codes that are being written in this country, they're not about law and order for you or I's best interest. Grow some pot, they'll throw you in prison and steal your property. Catch you driving down the road with too much money, they'll just steal that. Well, we don't know where it came from, but we know where it's going. I mean, that's thievery, I mean, it's just, right? But it wasn't about crime because Neil Bush took $200 million and they didn't do nothing to him. And he wasn't the only one doing the taking. And nothing happened to any of them, really. Whatever's going on in the law and order and this and that, it's not really about crime. It's about something. Because the way the society is headed, the crime on the street is manifesting because there's more and more poor people. See, so this automatically scares the people who live by them. See, but nobody is thinking, well, hold it. Maybe the crime on the street wouldn't be happening if Neil Bush didn't have $200 million. But we don't make that linkage. So they set little laws into place that someday are going to be used against the workers. That's the reality that the next generation is heading into. So I'm not saying people should vote or not vote or anything. All I'm just saying is whatever is going on, it's about their ability to think and to see. Now everybody's out here also about democracy, you know, because sometimes there's some things people just don't want to think about, right? I'll tell you about democracy. Now, see, I'm a native person, right? And democracy is based, allegedly, it's based upon the idea of majority rule. Now, when they came up with this idea, we were the majority, okay? We were the majority. So we didn't get to vote because, well, they're the enemy. So we had no say. Oh, incidentally, if you were a woman, you were mentally inferior, and this was man's business. So you didn't have any say either. And if you were black, you were property, so you didn't have any say. And if you were a white male that did not own land, you had no value, so you had no say. So the ultimate irony is, or paradox, or whatever, insult, let's try insult, right, is that the smallest number of people on the entire hemisphere decided the rules for everybody else and has had gotten everybody to carry the banner on some heroin promise, theoretical meaning and definition of democracy, when I happen to think what happens is exactly what it's supposed to be. It's structured in such a way that it promises the people something, because people become addicted to promises very, very easily. Very easily become addicted to a promise that it's going to get better. So the way they have control of this thing, it just creates the illusion that you're going to change something, but you aren't changing anything. And then it just marches right on past the generations. Ask grandparents what changed besides the technology. When you just get down to certain systems and things that go, see? But by the time, who listens to the grandparents, see? So, so you got to do is trick one generation for 40 years and you can run the same lie again. See, and I'm saying this because I come from a tribe and I think tribe is the way, all right? Now, I'm not trying to overthrow anybody's little democracy or any other thing, but what I am trying to say is, you know, understand what it is. Because they use words to trick us.
For me as a Native person, once we were hunted down, exterminated through the genocidal practices and policies and behaviors of the United States of America and its citizens, once we were hunted down, the smallest numerical minority, they said, hey, vote. In a majority rule system. Yeah, okay. I think these are valid things to think about. I don't think it's a crime. I don't think it's disloyal. I don't think it's anything negative to think about some of these things. Actually, I think it's our responsibility. That's really what I think. Because too much of our thinking is limited in the definitions of our beliefs. And so maybe if our belief is about democracy, but we just have some theoretical, well, no, the way the Romans had it. Let me tell you about the way the Romans had it. They owned slaves too. Oh no, the way the Greeks had it. Oh yeah, sorry, they did the same thing. So it seems like every democracy has had a slave class. Now some of the slave classes, they may have just called them slave. You're slave. But now, see, they're slicker than that, right? Now you're a worker, citizen, right? And that's sophistication. It's taken from the Greek and Latin. Keep this one to yourself, but how many people have ever strived to be more sophisticated or make a more sophisticated presentation? But did you know sophistication, it's got to do with your ability to deceive. I always thought that was interesting. We got to be real to ourselves. You know, we should never lie to ourselves. I mean, even if you got to lie to everybody else, you know, and I'm not advocating it, but I'm just saying, you know, or any degree in between, but we should always tell ourselves the truth. Because if we do not tell ourselves the truth, then we're not defining our own basis of reality. And that's why we have intelligence. That's a part of our responsibility. We should always tell ourselves the truth. You know, if it's a shameful truth, tell it to ourselves, face it. If we can live with it, we can live with it. If we can't live with it, we can't live with it, and it will become resolved. Because I think, see, the way everything gets dissected and studied around, see, I think that too many people have been put in a situation where they look at the negative aspects of their lives, and they decide that instead of looking at the negative aspect as being a part of the whole, the negative aspect takes on a life of its own and becomes the new whole. See, and then we devalue ourselves. And I think it's really about, yeah, right, well, I can do some really rotten things, but I can do some good things, too. I can think, too. See, it doesn't invalidate it. We are all, in a way, victims of an environment, an environmental reality we were born into. Because it was here, and there was nothing we could do about it. But we are responsible human beings, so we had the ability to deal with it. To me, that's the first act of self-respect, is to tell ourselves the truth. And if we can't do that, then there ain't no respect, man. There ain't. And when we can tell ourselves the truth about who we are and accept all the parts, everything's just a part of the whole, we will start to see more clearly because we've made that decision to see as clearly as we possibly can. Because we're human beings and there's a reason we're here. And we're here at the right time. We're here when we're supposed to be. And we're a part of an evolutionary thing, and we got to think, remember, we're a part of an evolutionary thing. There is no revolutionary solution. It's an evolutionary solution. And how we use our individual collective intelligence, this creates consciousness. This creates, I'll just call spirit. All right? And it kind of just goes. It just kind of goes. This is what power is really about. And we can influence what's going to happen in the future if we use our intelligence. But see, there's a hard time in the future. How we're going to get through it and what's going to happen with our generations, this is a decision that we make by being paranoid, insecure, or hating ourselves or whatever. We're making the decision. But nothing has ever happened to us in our lives. We have never done anything in our lives that does not make us valid to make coherent decisions and to use our minds in the best ways that we possibly can. I'm going to finish this poem, and I thank you all for hearing whatever you heard. I think about how I'm doing, but I don't know what I'm thinking. Shattering into shadow light, reflecting thoughts I can't relieve. My heart doesn't hurt anymore, but my soul does. Maybe that's what souls are for, to take the hurt the heart can't take. Distance playing tag, playing tricks with whatever it is I can't find. My weaknesses are my band-aids, covering for how I don't bleed. In all the stones I threw, some were for flinging, some were for bringing, and some I never knew. Living painted into a picture, dripping off all these paintings, the colors of emotions, seeking any kind of devotions. Some things are private between me and the dead, and some of the rest is better off left unsaid. And I thank you for your time.
That was Santi Sioux poet, recording artist, actor, and activist John Trudell speaking in 1998 at Westminster Church in Northeast Portland. Thank you to Andrew Geller for recording that. Stay tuned. At 11 this morning, Paul Rowland will host another program honoring John Trudell with spoken word and music. That's after Air Cascadia, which is coming up next, followed by Flashpoints. So stay tuned.
Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia.
We bit that apple and the garden was lost. And so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found. But
don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia.